As well, it has been a busy week for Carlton, probably busier than they would have liked, and probably busy for this man as well. Their CEO, Kane Little, kind enough to join us on Sports Day on this Thursday evening. Welcome to you, Kane.
Thanks very much. Good evening, gents.
Has it been a frustrating week regarding the Curnow brothers?
Yeah, it has been frustrating. It's obviously dragged on for a lot of the week, but the decision's now been made, and we respect that process, and we need to put that behind us as quick as possible because it's only a couple of days before we run out and take on Melbourne, a game we're really looking forward to.
And I guess the part of that, I mean, Kane, is you've got Murphy back there, the really the good partner for Cripps, who's been terrific for you, but what Mark Murphy can do, that'll help a lot.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he's the captain of our football club, and Paddy Cripps has done a superb job in his absence, but to have them both operating back in the midfield this week is something we're really looking forward to.
And I guess the big guy that's going for the hit-outs around Matthew Cruz, he's almost a clearance player in his own right. Geez, when he's playing well over the years, Carlton seem to be going well with him.
Oh, you're not wrong, Lee, and he's just been superb in the games he's played. And, well, as you know, I've only been here 6 months, effectively the first seven games, so my recollections are from my 8 years at Richmond, and I remember a number of games when Matty Cruiser came out and put us to the sword. And he's been a great player over the years, and he really is the heartbeat of the team. And he's just so highly regarded by his teammates, and we're very lucky to have him. And he's wound down the clock a bit last week. He was outstanding.
Kane, just quickly on the Curnow case. Yesterday, Patrick Dangerfield was asked about it. Obviously, his teammate was rubbed out for a week in Tom Hawkins, but he labelled the whole situation farcical. Was that too extreme from Dangerfield, or do you think that's on the money?
Look, Paddy's probably in a difficult situation, isn't he? He's a Geelong player, and he's probably looking after his mate there a little bit, and at the same time, he's president of the Players Association. So he is in a difficult situation, and look, I think he was probably more critical of the process than the outcome. It's probably something he's going to have to reflect on now when he does make public comment, because he does get viewed, you know, both as a player and as the president of that association.
Do you just now reaffirm to your players, do not touch the umpire? Is that one was careless and one was intentional? Is it just better to make it black and white?
Yeah, look, it sort of has to be. And our head of footy, Andrew McKay, made a comment before, which I tend to agree with. It's a little disappointing because over the years you've sort of really tried to you've wanted to enable that relationship between players and umpires, and that really, I think, in the events of the last week's been put an end's been put to that. I just think you'll see players avoiding them at all costs now.
Kane, can I ask you a question that's always perplexed me? Okay, there's a 1 week penalty. If there was a fine, what do you think the players and the fans would think would be an equivalent dollar amount to say, okay, like that's about equivalent or 90% of what a week's penalty would be?
Yeah, that's a hard one. Off the top of my head, you'd probably think it'd have to be up to, you know, 10,000 or somewhere in advance of that. And I've actually been listening to your show a bit tonight, Lee, and I found your comments interesting, and I probably agreed with them that, you know, if you mark sort of the Hawkins incident as a 10 out of 10, you know, Ed's is potentially, you know, an 8 or a 9 or whatever it might be, and yet they've both got the week. So it's an interesting dilemma, and I'm lucky that all I have to do is run a football club and not worry about the tribunal.
Just the administrative part of the game, though, which I guess the CEOs are very much involved in. For some reason, seeing that we think this relatively incidental contact with an umpire is like a one-weeker, shouldn't the match review panel be able to just give them a 1 week and, okay, if you want to fight it, you can go to the tribunal rather than having to go to the tribunal?
Yeah, well, I think in this case we sort of went to the tribunal and actually pled guilty, but pled guilty to it not being intentional. So, it was sort of an interesting situation, wasn't it? And then the jury agreed with that and it was challenged and, you know, in one respect the jury was found on one case to be accurate and not in the other. So it's just been an interesting situation, made even more interesting by the fact they're brothers.
Kane, were you disappointed what transpired on the weekend between Jed Lamb and Mark Bagley, and how hard was it for Jed after the game?
Yeah, look, it's a very sensitive topic, and our understanding was that both players had discussed it on the ground and it was being left there. It was obviously dragged up in the media, and Essendon subsequently made a statement which almost simultaneously, as a statement was made by both clubs, that sort of enough was enough and it had been put to bed. So, look, my preference is that players deal with that themselves, which is exactly what was done. So it was probably just a little disappointing that it was dragged up afterwards.
Was it therefore, I guess, frustrating for you as the CEO that Brendan Bolton, I guess, had an involvement in that, in the manner in which he did, using that offensive language that was pretty much picked up by the broadcaster?
Yeah, look, I think it wasn't a good look for the game, and we all understand our responsibilities with the game and with, you know, young kids watching on TV. I think, though, as the CEO, I was actually happy to see Brendan making a statement. And if he thought that an opposition player was getting into a huddle that he shouldn't have been in, I'm more than happy for him to defend our players, as he did. Perhaps a different choice in words he might use next time, but ultimately, I've got no problem with him defending our players.
So if there was an incident at half-time or at three-quarter time in a match where the two teams were going at it and Brendan Bolton went over there and said something to the opposition, you wouldn't have an issue with it?
Well, he didn't go over there. It was my understanding that the Essendon player was making his way to our huddle, so Brendan didn't go out of his way, no.
But if he did say something to the opposition, you don't mind that, him getting involved?
If an opposition player or official came over to our huddle, our coach has got every right to tell him not to be there.
What about, I just want to ask you about, on a more positive note, Patrick Cripps. Everyone's saying that he is the next captain of this football club. He stepped up for Mark Murphy, and it looks as though Murph's back this week. Is he the next captain?
Look, we've got Paddy and Sam Doherty, who are both outstanding young leaders around the club. Murph, in his 6 years of captaincy, he's done a great job, and he's also done an excellent job in helping the development of our future leaders, in Paddy and Sam. And I think all Carlton supporters can be very happy that we've got a really good next batch of leadership coming through for down the track when Mark does choose to hand that baton on. And you know, Carlton members and supporters who've been to the football the last month would be absolutely thrilled with what they've seen from Paddy Cripps, because his on-field leadership's been absolutely outstanding.
All right, so the leadership's there. What about the next group of players to come through? Is it back to the draft again, or do you really seriously look at free agency, and particularly players like Andrew Gaffin and Luke Dalhouse, who are in that age bracket for Carlton?
Yeah, we've mentioned a number of times, long before I got here, that we were intent on going to three drafts. Now we've done that. At this stage, we're really happy with how those players are coming along. I mean, time will tell how successful we've been there. We absolutely now need to look at balancing our list management strategy around continuing to go to the draft and getting the best young players, but equally looking to start bringing some players in to fill some gaps in our list. And there's a very obvious age demographic that we don't have on our list right now, and that is that sort of 24, 25, 26-year-old. So yes, we will certainly be starting to look more at free agency and uncontracted players, and particularly players that fall into that age demographic. And I've mentioned before, I'm not a believer that a list needs to look a certain way, and ultimately it's Stephen Silvani and Mick Agresta that sort of build that. But there does look to be a gap in that age demographic that we need to fill.
Kane, can I ask you about Sam Doherty? Obviously you lost him, but he's making a sort of copybook recovery.
He is, Lee. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he is. He's ahead of his. He's ahead in terms of where he wanted to be. I mean, he'd love to play. We're really holding him back at the moment. But what we've been able to do with him, and again, I want to thank the AFL and particularly Steve Hocking, because we approached him in the off season and said, look, we've got a guy here who's out for the year. We've got no doubt that one day he's going to end up a coach. We really want to keep him involved, you know, as much for his mental sanity. And he'd love to be able to do something. So can we use him during the year? Because, as you know, traditionally injured players aren't allowed to be on the bench or anywhere around on game day. And Steve was happy for that to happen. So you may have noticed that Sam's been down on the bench and actually playing a role as a support coach. And what that's done is it's meant we've kept him around the group. We haven't lost any of his leadership, but he's actually thrived. So some of those risks to players' mental health when they're out for 12 months, Now, he's actually gone the other way. He's actually developed some new skills, really positioned himself well for what will happen post-footy, and he's actually been a massive contributor to the group. So, again, I just want to say thanks and you know, well done to Steve Hocking for allowing us to do it.
Just finally, Kane, I mean, Ed Curnow, we know he's out for a week. Might be the first time you'd say, geez, that's going to be a blow, because he's been in really good form this year.
Oh, I've only been here for the 7 or 8 games, and I'd be stunned if he's not in our top 5 best and fairest. He's had a really good year, Ed, and he is disappointed about not being out there, but you know, he can have a week off, freshen up, and he can come back bigger and better. And I think his comeback game might be against Geelong.
Tell you what, there wouldn't be much bigger when he returns home to take on the Cats down there on a Saturday night. Kane, just one before we let you go on the AFLW. Your skipper, Brianna Davey, very much in demand. Apparently Collingwood's offered her a full-time gig and a sweet little juicy offer. How are negotiations going there?
Yeah, negotiations going well. Bree's our captain. We're really comfortable that she's committed to being here long-term, and we're just working through that process, and it's been a difficult process in the AFLW, and no fault of anyone's, but the sort of goalposts have kept moving in terms of time frames around new clubs being able to sign players and trade periods. And in actual fact, I'm not even sure that clubs were allowed to re-sign their players until after that process of opposition, of those new clubs being able to nominate who they wanted. So it has been a difficult period, but we're certain that Bree will be our captain next year and continue on, so we don't have a problem there.
And just a quick word from you, because Carlton does do a great job in the space of community initiatives, and this week the Blues taking part in their 4th Carlton Respects match. Now, this is all about promoting gender equality for the prevention of violence against women, and I don't know anyone who wouldn't be supportive of this cause. Kane, fans are urged to grab a free orange flag on their way into the MCG and fly their flag for equality during the game. Again, is this something that you hope to build not only this year but in the years to come?
Yeah, we do. Look, the Carlton Respects program is a key pillar of our community strategy, and it's something our club's heavily invested in. And as you mentioned, it's built around, you know, gender equality and the prevention of violence against women. And you know, in addition to the flags being handed out, our players will also be wearing orange socks to raise awareness. And you know, we look forward to as many Carlton members and supporters getting along to support us in our work in gender equality, and obviously support the boys on the weekend, because, as I said, it's a key pillar of our community program, and something we're keen to continue to grow. And I think at the moment we're working with about 1,000 students in the Northern Corridor, and we want to continue to grow that, you know, and help use the power of sport to educate young children around the importance of gender equality.
It's a terrific initiative, and to find out more, bluesfoundation.org.au. Kane Little, appreciate your time tonight.
No worries. Thanks, Kane. Appreciate you having me on.
Kane Little, the CEO of the Carlton Football Club.